In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we hear these wonderful words. It's the good news, the gospel, the marvelous truth that Christ didn't come into the world to save the righteous, because of course, if we had been righteous, we wouldn't have needed saving. But he came into the world to save sinners. He came to bring healing to those who are sick. He came to bring life to those who are dead. He came to find the lost. This is the gospel. So this is the wonderful truth that's proclaimed to us and that should always bring joy to our hearts. Our hearts should leap up when they hear that. Do they not? I mean, they must. It's the reality that Christ loves us in spite of everything. That he loves us without us doing anything for him to love us. He loves us while we are yet sinners and comes for us and rescues us. But of course, along with that wonderful, joyful proclamation, there's also an imperative that's given to us with that. Along with the reality of our opportunity to be set free, there's the necessity for us to accept it and to receive it and to cooperate with it. If we were being held hostage somewhere and some, you know, military hero, some Rambo or something like that, came into the place where we were being held hostage and said, I'm going to lead you to freedom. Follow me. Come with me and we'll go and you'll be free. Then we would have an opportunity and we would be foolish not to take the opportunity, right? We would be foolish to say, oh no, wait, let me think about this. Maybe I want to stay here as a hostage. It would be ridiculous. But this is how it is for us spiritually. The Lord comes to us and says, I'm here to set you free. And we say, wait a minute, let me think about this. What is there to think about? You know, here's the one who's come, who can deliver us. Here's our Savior. Of course, you know, we with our rational mind, we always want to figure things out. We always want to see, you know, what are going to be the consequences of this? What are the difficulties going to be? And so we analyze it and we figure it out and all of this. St. James warns us against being double-minded. He says, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And this is the thing. We must be single-minded. When we see Christ, and we know that he's here for us, he's here to deliver us, he's setting us free. He's granting us health in place of sickness. We must not hesitate. We must not stop and analyze the situation, but we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, we trust you, and this is our freedom. And maybe we'll understand it all later. But it's enough that we know that you're the Lord. That's enough. We don't have to figure out everything else. So we're told by St. James to be single-minded. And we see in this gospel this wonderful example of Levi, or Matthew, who's a tax collector. And what does it say? After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And then it doesn't say that he said, give me some time, let me think about this. He had to, you know, figure out what his response was going to be. No, it says in the very next verse, so he left all, everything. He left all of his papers, all of the taxes, everything. He left all, rose up and followed him, became his disciple. Matthew. And of course, then, you know, the Pharisees were complaining and criticizing because the Lord spends time with sinners and tax collectors. Tax collectors, of course, you know, were considered the scum of the earth. They were, the Jewish tax collectors were Jews who were working for the Romans, you know, and they were lining their pockets with the money from the Jews that they were collecting for the Romans. You know, so they were seen as the scum of the earth. But the point again is that the Lord came for such people. The Lord came to deliver sinners. He came to heal the sick. He came to Levi. He came to tax collectors. He came to sinners. And he came to set us free. But, like Matthew, when we recognize that the Lord has come for us, we must be quick to respond. We must not lose the opportunity. Maybe the Lord is giving us an opportunity today that we won't have again. Maybe today we're called in a unique way. And really every day that we remain in this world until the Lord calls us to leave this world and go into the next life, every day that we live in this world is an opportunity. Every day is a chance for us to say yes to Christ. So let's not miss that chance to receive that gift of freedom and that gift of healing and that gift of spiritual life. So today on October 10th, there are some particular saints that are commemorated who are wonderful examples who go along with this lesson of not being double-minded, but of giving our whole hearts to Christ. And these are the holy monk martyrs of Zografu Monastery on Mount Athos. And here's the story. In the year 1280 or thereabouts, it was when Emperor Michael Palaiologos was on the throne of the Byzantine Empire. And he, because of, for political reasons, because he was being attacked by people on all fronts, and he felt lots of pressure, he decided that he needed to call on Rome and, you know, the Westerners, the Latins, to come and to offer military assistance, to come to their aid. And in order to convince them to do that, he said, "We will join the Roman Catholic Church." So he tried to create a union. Well, this union didn't work. There was a Council of Union in Florence. This was a complete disaster. The Orthodox Christians simply didn't accept it, so the union never worked. But during this whole period, this whole process, when Emperor Michael was trying to attract the Latins and trying to create this union, they launched a military campaign that came and attacked certain places, including Mount Athos. And this was coming from the Roman Catholic Church to go and to forcibly convert the monks of Mount Athos. And so here they came, this whole detachment of soldiers. They come and they invade Mount Athos, and they start going from monastery to monastery. And in certain monasteries, in order to save their lives, they actually compromised, and they said, "Okay, we'll join with you," and so on. Other ones, they fled. You know, the monks went and they went hiding in the rocks, in the caves, in the woods, and everything. But some of them, especially ones where there were elderly monks, maybe the young ones, they went out and hid, but the elderly monks just said, "Well, we're just going to stay here, and if they kill us, they kill us." And this happened at Iviron Monastery, it happened at Vatopedi Monastery, where they just came and they said, "You have to join us," and they said, "We're never going to leave the Orthodox faith, you can go ahead and kill us," and so they killed them. But then they came to Zografu. Now, Zografu is historically a Bulgarian monastery. It's where the monks from Bulgaria would go. And at that time, it was a strong community, and there was a very strong, staunch, and faithful abbot. And the abbot, they heard that these Latin soldiers were coming, and so he warned the monks, and he said, "If anyone's afraid, if, you know, when they threaten to kill us, if you might be in danger of capitulating and you know, betraying Christ, betraying the Orthodox Church," he said, you should leave and you should go hide. So he gave them the opportunity. Any of the monks who want to escape, go escape. And so a certain number of them went. But 26 of them, including the abbot, remained behind. So when the soldiers arrived at the monastery, they all went up into a tower. And from this tower, there was a whole conversation that took place. Here come the soldiers. Here's the spokesman for the soldiers. He says, "You have to denounce the Orthodox Church. You have to join the Roman Catholic Church, and then we'll keep you alive." And they went through this whole conversation, and you know, he named all the things that they had to accept. You have to accept the authority of the Pope. You have to add the filioque to the creed. You have to stop using leavened bread and use unleavened bread. And the priests have to shave their beards. There was a whole conversation about beards in this whole exchange, you know. So he gave them all of these stipulations. And The abbot simply responded by explaining why the Orthodox Church does what it does and saying, we're not going to compromise, we're not going to betray the Church, and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you kill us, go ahead, kill us, you know. Our hope is in Christ, and our hope is in His kingdom. And so they went back and forth, and finally the soldiers realized that they weren't going to turn, and so they lit the tower on fire, and they burned all of the monks alive. And so the monks died as martyrs there. And many years passed. Of course, you know, they were recognized right away by the other monks. After they returned to the monastery, they recognized that these monks were holy martyrs. They began to honor them and to commemorate them as saints. And so centuries went by. And in the 19th century, there was a wonderful miracle associated with these martyrs. It was, I think, in the 1870s. And by that time, there had been new construction at Zografu Monastery. They had always kept that tower as a memorial to those monks. They didn't want to get rid of it. So it was all burned and couldn't be used or anything, but it was there as a memorial to these holy martyrs. But now they had done some new construction, and the tower was in danger of falling over and collapsing and maybe, damaging other things. So they said, we need to take it down, but let's build something in place of it. So they demolished the tower, but then they built a memorial there in its place to these monastic martyrs. And it was on the feast day. They were keeping the feast of the martyrs on October 10th, and they had just built this new memorial. And all of a sudden, they heard something. In the description, it says it was like a soft sound. It was a sound, but it sounded like something gentle. They didn't know what it was. And they looked out the windows into the courtyard where this memorial was, and above the memorial, there was a pillar of fire. All the monks were witnesses of it, all the monks in that year during that feast. They saw this pillar of fire just like Moses and the people of Israel in the wilderness. It's described in the book of Exodus, how the Lord sent a pillar of fire that led them by night. And that's how they knew where to go. There was a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night. Well, there was this pillar of fire right where these 26 holy martyrs had been burned. And so those monks of Zografu Monastery and all the monks of Mount Athos and all the people of the Orthodox Church were encouraged by these holy martyrs. And it wasn't just the martyrs of Zografu, but all over Mount Athos, but those ones in particular were encouraged to remain faithful to Christ, to put our hope in Him, to be single-minded, not double-minded, to not allow the false wisdom of this world to deceive us and to lead us astray. We're given this encouragement, and we're reminded by our church on this day, like St. Matthew, that when we hear the Lord calling, when we see Him before us, when we perceive the opportunity to give our hearts to Him in whatever situation we may face, we must not hesitate. We must take courage. We must take heart. We must put our hope in Jesus Christ. And though we may face difficult things in this world, it is true, we may face difficult things, and ultimately, all of us will even face death, whenever that comes. Though that is true, that we will face difficult things, yet our Lord Jesus Christ, as we put our trust in Him, as we put our hope in Him, as we single-mindedly follow Him, He will strengthen us, He will enable us to get through whatever difficult things, and ultimately, He will give us His heavenly kingdom, where we hope to one day be and to rejoice eternally with the holy 26 monk martyrs of Zografu and with the holy apostle Matthew and with all the saints. And together with them, let us glorify our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.